Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, June 26, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, gold today. Lots to talk about, so let's get right to the market report. Today, we have gold up 120 right now in the New York spot price at 1175. You have silver down 8 cents at 1585. We have platinum down 6 at 1082, with palladium up 3 at 684, as it should be, since palladium has quite a beat down here of late. The USDX today was up 0.27 at 95.45. Crude oil down 11 at 59.59, and the paper markets today, they barely managed to be in the green for the Dow. You have the Dow, let me get to the current page here, up 57 points at 17,947. You have the NASDAQ down 31, 5,080. The S&P was basically unchanged at 2101. The 10-year yield popped 0.08 at 2.48%. The euro down a little bit, 0.28 at 1.12. And the Asian markets got hit. The Hong Kong was down another 1.75%. I guess the Shanghai was hit down 7% overnight. So, that bubble has fallen apart. We'll see how low she goes. Let's see if she hits, where the average is about 2,000. And Germany was up just fractionally. So that is pretty much it for the markets today. Al, there's been quite a lot of, I don't even know how to begin. Yesterday I talked a little bit about
interpretive jiggery pokery.
Yeah, I know. Be careful
that's
how
what,
you say that.
That's what Justice Antonin Scalia, that's what he called it.
Yeah.
He says he called it interpretive jiggery pokery. That's a legal term, Melody. A lot of people don't understand that, but jiggery pokery.
I like that. I'll have to keep that in mind. But certainly I talked a little bit about the health care subsidies, and, this is... does anybody get it, Al?
Well, some people do. You know, you get into this here in New York Times. Supreme Court allows nationwide health care subsidies. Obamacare, the health care law, allows the federal government to provide nationwide tax subsidies to the poor and middle class people to buy health insurance. They go on to describe the Supreme Court decision as a sweeping vindication of Mr. Obama's signature legislative achievement. I don't agree with that, but you know, one of the things about it, this apparently affects only about 6 million people that are actually getting...
So far.
Well, so far. All right, yeah, I agree with that. That's so
you
far.
Know?
It's not like it affects 150 million at the moment, right? This wasn't all that big, but why does this happen? And from my perspective, the reason it happens is because we government came in and said, we're going to organize health care. You see? And we're going to take control of it. And I'm not talking about just lately. I'm talking about years ago, decades
Absolutely.
Ago. All right? And once the government gets into these situations, the logic of government control inevitably pushes you into some of the craziest damn decisions you're ever going to make unless you go back to fundamental premises and say, you know something? Actually, we should just let people, let the free market handle health care. All right? Why can't poor people get health care? Is it simply because they're poor? Or is it because the government licenses doctors and thereby restricts the supply of doctors and keeps the price of medicine, at least in regard to the doctors, it keeps it higher? They do the same thing with lawyers. You know, I've published a magazine called The Anti-Shyster for 12 years, and it was designed to raise hell for lawyers and judges. That was its intent. But I am for more lawyers in this country. People say, that's crap. How could you do that? If we had more lawyers, the competition among lawyers would hold the price down. It's precisely because government says, oh, we're going to like this is too important. Just let anybody who thinks he knows something about the law to go out and practice the law. We're going to license it, see? And what they really do is they restrict the competition. They're going to only let a few people be lawyers. The truth of the matter is, I saw a study back, oh, this goes back into the 1990s, right, late 1990s, a study by the State Bar of Texas that indicated that two-thirds of the people in Texas couldn't afford to hire an attorney. If you have a problem, you can get an attorney to come in on a contingency fee basis. Right, where he gets a percentage of whatever's made, but trying to hire somebody, decide I'd like to hire your services, most people can't afford the attorneys. Why? They have the supply is restricted by the licensing procedure. I suspect that much the same is going on with medicine. Government has regulated medicine to where medicine is hard to find. If there weren't so much regulation. And a lot of people say, well, we have to regulate medicine because, you know, and there's, I get that. I understand that some people are going to make that argument, but you make a choice. That's what it comes down to. You have to make a choice. And when you see that the regulations, even if they were well-intentioned to begin with, they've gone too far. You know, you can't just sit back and say, listen, we're protecting the public health with all these regulations. Well, good idea, but if your regulations actually restrict public access to affordable health care, are you really doing any good for the public? You might be doing good for the top third who can afford this stuff, but what about the other two-thirds? You can't just, what are you going to do? Say, oh, the government will save, the government is going to save the two-thirds that need assistance on health care by raising taxes on the upper third. And maybe the solution was just to say, look, let's just not regulate this. Let's let the people at the free market settle the problem. And I guarantee you, if it did, medicine would be a lot cheaper and perhaps of a higher quality if there were more competition. No, I don't know. For me, I see what happened. They supported Obamacare. You know, I think this is the one of the inevitable conclusions. Once you get into this business where the government is going to take care of us, you wind up doing things that are just idiotic. We're going to be behaving like a bunch of children if we're not already, we're going to be behaving like a bunch of children before this is over, while the government claims to control and claims to solve our problems, when in fact government is creating a bunch of the problems we have.
Well, the problem with this also, Al, is that they're forcing the states, because there was restrictions, the states didn't want the exchanges, so now again, that's all something that the states can no longer control. Yeah. It's power being taken away from the people.
I understand.
I mean,
that.
And the problem in the medical, and I mean, you know, I was in health insurance. I was in the insurance business for 12 years. And I saw the HMOs and the PPOs be created, and I knew that was a problem. And you're right, this regulation, and when hospitals began to service for profit, and you have so much corruption. I mean, even free markets don't eliminate the corruption. It's so big anymore. It's huge anymore. But certainly the Obamacare and everything else is not the fix of it.
No, it's not,
not
the
solution. The fix.
It's not the inevitable
solution.
Consequence. It's not an improvement. It's not a step up. It's a recognition that, oh, my God, we have government health care, and it's going to destroy. You know, I mean, if you want to live to a ripe old age, you'd better start paying attention. This is good advice under any circumstances. You better start paying attention to your own diet and your own medical needs, because I just don't believe that the government is going to do that on your behalf to a meaningful degree. We are all in jeopardy. Government is here to protect us.
The doctors are going
to grab your wallet and hide the women and children.
The doctors are going to do what they're told to do, what they're allowed to do by the government. And again, it was something that was taken away from the states. You have people that are paying a buck and a half for their insurance and getting, and you know, and the average cost was $272, for the subsidy. And the people that are working and where their insurances have gone up, as I mentioned yesterday, heck, mine's up 50% since I had to go in and change my insurance coverage because I couldn't keep the carrier that I had. So again, mine is up 50%, so I can have to pay not only through taxes, but through my health insurance to pay for people who get a subsidy. Now, I'm not saying that people shouldn't have health insurance, but there's something wrong with the whole damn system.
Well, here's
part of it.
And
we're giving people, I mean, what's wrong? I remember my grandparents were poor. They lived on $800 a month. You know, and after they retired and, you know, all that kind of stuff, the Medicare stuff. And they didn't want for nothing. They had everything they needed. They got to go on little trips. They were able to have their food. They were, you know, if there was anything medically, my grandfather didn't go to the doctor, but my grandmother did. She had problems. She was serviced. You know, she was able to live a long life to 82 and to 83 years old. So, I mean, it's just like somewhere lines have to be drawn. And even though some of those lines might not be appealing to some people, the lines have to be drawn.
Well, here's part of the problem. Here's an article from the Atlantic magazine. It goes back about 10 days ago. And the headline is, "The hospitals that overcharge patients by 1,000%. Try to avoid, I'm just reading from the article, try to avoid breaking any limbs in Crestview, Florida. You might wind up in North Okaloosa Medical Center, which charges 12.6 times. Or 1,260% more than what it costs the hospital to treat patients. 12 times. If it costs them $100 to treat you, they'll charge you $1,200. North Oskaloosa, along with New Jersey's CarePoint Health Bayonne Hospital, tops the list of U.S. hospitals with the highest markups for their services. This according to a study by Health Affairs. The study found that on average, the 50 hospitals with the highest markups charged people 10 times more than what it cost them to provide treatments in 2012. They've got a list of the states that are the highest. On average, all U.S. hospitals charge patients or their insurers 3.4 times what the federal government thinks these procedures cost.
And they do it multiple times.
Part of this... I'm going to just bet, I'm not an expert on any of the what's going on in healthcare, but if they can get away with charging that amount of money, it indicates, how do they get away with charging that amount of money, Melody? How is it that the public will pay that?
Because they have insurance.
Insurance, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. This is one of the things, you got to have health insurance. Well, what if you didn't? If you didn't, they would charge prices that average people could afford.
And you know what?
So when you have insurance that the prices go up, we saw it with automobiles here in Texas. It used to be 30 years ago, if you had a problem with your automobile, you could get somebody to fix it. You'd get a shade tree mechanic to fix it. And it didn't cost much. And then they mandated insurance for automobiles. And the price for automobile repairs jumped. And now you can barely afford to fix your car. And the reason is because nobody cares. I don't care what does the auto repairman, what's he charging me to fix? What do I care?
You know, I mean, how many people?
Deductible and let the insurance company, which means all the rest of the people out in the audience, they get to pay to fix my car. The insurance itself creates an incentive, and people become irresponsible when they're insured.
And Al, and I'm going to put the blame on a lot of people too. I can remember, and this is a generational thing, and I'm going to use personal family, my uncle, he's 83, and they were grown into believe insurance was there to use. So if it's going to be covered, you use it. Nobody pays anything out of their pocket anymore. If you have a little snivelly cold and you need an antibiotic, go to the doctor and pay for it out of your pockets. And people don't do that anymore. And you're right. If you had a little problem, you paid for it out of your pocket. I didn't use my insurance.
You know, you talk about what years ago would you remember with your grandparents living on $800 a month and so on, having everything they want. I remember as a kid, Dr. Gladstone, who was located in McHenry, Illinois, 20 miles up the road, he was our family doctor. He drove from McHenry to our hometown of Crystal Lake. He drove there every winter. My sister and I saw Dr. Gladstone. We didn't go to the hospital. He came to us to give us a shot for tonsillitis. Seems like we had tonsillitis. One or both of us had tonsillitis every winter there for 5-6 years. You get doctors made house calls. You understand? And people, and this was a better country. But now they've engineered things where doctors can get rich and play golf on Wednesdays. And they don't know whether they're doctors or what are they, Melody? Are they doctors? Are they in it to heal people? Or are they there to get rich? Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's not just crazy, it's inevitable. Once you embark on some of these things, government regulation, insurance, mandatory insurance, I guarantee you, it isn't going to help us. It'll just wreck this country and make it worse.
And it's part of the system that's too big, too heavy, and it will collapse.
And too profitable. As long as there's big money to be made, it will continue until it collapses, and then the racketeers running this system will look for another system. That's all.
And I still believe the reason that those insurance companies didn't have to comply to Obamacare, I even hate calling it Obamacare, to the Affordable Care Act, was because it was part of the agreement, because these insurance companies were about to collapse. I believe a lot of these insurance companies were ready to collapse, and that was part of coming out of 2008, and I do believe that without the Affordable Care Act, they would have collapsed. They're going to collapse sooner or later because it's just too big.
Well,
it doesn't even
saying.
Make sense. There's nothing. There's no one to support the programs.
Well,
there's
we'll
not
bring
enough
Mexicans.
Support.
We'll get Mexicans to bring. We'll get illegal aliens to support the program, Melody. Beyond that, what you're saying is the real purpose of Affordable Health Care Act is not to provide health care to people, but to provide insurance premiums to insurance companies. And that may very well be the case. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
We'll be right back. job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we got a lot of things to talk about today. We got two calls coming in, and so let's get to them right away. We have Jim from West Virginia first. Good afternoon, Jim.
Oh, good afternoon. You folks, you know, you've only scratched the surface on the medical issue. I want to scratch it just
We have a such short time.
Oh, I understand, but I'll scratch a little deeper. All jokes aside, two MDs during the 60s got together with about 10 others and said, we're not going to practice this hospital anymore because you're sloppy. Housekeeping situations, time after time, somebody go in there, secondary infection, anything to jack up the billing. By the time I was through, I took electrical engineering minor in biology. I had read Stedman's Medical Dictionary and Gray's. So Gray's kind of hard to understand unless you have a cadaver working on. But anyway, I banged 90% on MedCats.
There'll be plenty of those in the future.
Medical college aptitude test, that's way up there. Shoe in for med school. I was around the medical system a little while. Two nurses sat me down and said, listen, utilization runs the hospital. You remember the old man, Mr. Parkins? Yeah. And 9 surgeries to remove tumors? Yeah. She said that then something happened to him? Yeah. They used to, long ago, used to snow people like they do in hospice, a little bit too much painkiller. And the individual who did this, I won't go into details, but I was very upset about it. And they said, do not blow the whistle on the individual whose job it is to snow patients. Snowing was a term they used to mean too much painkiller. Because if you blow the whistle on her, the administration has something on everybody in this hospital. And if they fire, they'll put her in the slammer. But the problem's the administration, and they'll condemn somebody else into that job. A friend of mine in the 1990s, crack ophthalmologist, that's mean an eye surgeon, he told me, you know, it used to be we practiced medicine, you have two patients. One of them's healthy as a horse, needs cataract deal. Another one has a history of high blood pressure and diabetes. One of them is in benign alpha 10, you know. The other one, I want him in the hospital the night before, take him off the blood pressure meds so they won't bleed internally from the surgery, and make sure they're stable, do the surgery, keep them another day for observation, bring them back up, make sure they're okay. But the bureaucrats are the ones, and the insurance companies are the ones who force me to practice medicine. I'm just as liable in either event if something bad happens. Yeah. I have a very close friend and family member who turned in his medical license in 5 years ago now. He was a crack diagnostician, and he turned it in over the vaccine issue. Basically, you don't have a job unless you shoot them full of vaccines. Yeah. And he is very upset because the more he's learned after he's gotten out of it, I mean, he is scraping bottom. I don't know. He's not suicidal, but he is, he says he has nightmares every other night, if not every night, over what he did when he was in medicine. And one last point.
And what he did
point.
Because people were in control besides the doctors.
Bingo.
All right, you're saying that the bureaucrats were telling the doctors what to do, and the doctors, and what that does is the best doctors just eventually can't stand it, or they just say, to heck with it, I'm not going to do this, and they quit, and who's left? The ones who will work for the government and under government regulations are not the most talented. They're the ones that have no place, can't even imagine they have any place left to go, which means the quality of medical care goes down.
The good ones are jumping ship. I have a friend of mine who, it took him $40,000 to shut down his business in an orderly fashion, I'm making sure medical records got to everything, but he sat there and he has kept me updated, as has this gentleman. The two of them kept me updated. Another example is my wife slipped and broke her ankle in 1996. They had a half a dozen people in the hospital trying to get her to say that her husband abused her. I was in Somerset, Kentucky, 5 hours away, folks. But time after time, like the doctors are required for the sake of their license to report any kind of anything they suspect is abuse. And then CPS comes in. The whole thing is an insane mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is collapsing. So they're in a mad
tax. You know what is, Melody and I were talking about this during, and a lot of people think the system can't collapse with all this government. Look, the former Soviet Union, the evil empire, just ceased to exist back in 1991. It collapsed under the weight of its own absurdities. That's what drove it down, and that's what's going to collapse us too. We've got a bunch of jackasses in Congress, in the Senate, in the White House, in the federal courts, and they have a better plan for us. And it's going to ruin us. It's going to destroy it, and we will collapse under the weight of all their nonsense.
Let me describe government for you. Your money or your freedom and or your life. Medicine, your money or your life. Attorneys, your money or your freedom, maybe your life. Yep. Now, this whole system will collapse, and the medical system is collapsing. There are hospitals going belly up right and left. The good MDs are leaving right and left. So, folks, do everything you can. Listen to Wendy. Do everything you can to take care of yourself, because if you want to go to a hospital, otherwise referred to as MRSA Manor, I'm going to give you one. A number of people I know had MRSA, about a half a dozen or so. Colloidal silver cured every one of them. Oh, I shouldn't say cure, I'm sorry. But colloidal silver, every one of them. But the hospital says, oh, you have to have Cipro and Bactrin. Uh-uh. But time after time, as a matter of fact, one fellow started calling me Dr. Lovell, but at any rate, the bottom line, though, is it is collapsing.
We won't even need the death panels, which were at least talked about relative to Obamacare, to see if the elderly received medical care or not. They're going to be, who's going to want it? I mean, it might be that if you go to the doctor, it's like it's like assisted suicide. We're going to have to turn you loose, Jim. We got Dave waiting from Michigan. We want to try to get to him for the second half
like
of this
Dave.
Segment.
All right.
Really like
thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Hello, Dave. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, Alfred. Melody. Yeah, I could do almost the whole show today. But number one, I've been meaning to do this. I know we'll get back on the regular topic, but for about 3 weeks, I sent some money to Salvation Army for the people in Texas and Oklahoma. And if you want 90 cents on your dollar to get to the people, send a check to Salvation Army.
Yeah.
They sent me a letter back. They really appreciate it. So, you know, whatever you can do. When people are in need, don't count on the government. I sent also a letter to my congresswoman today asking that they do something with the grid system, protect us with an EMP. And I said, one winter in Michigan without electricity, and we'd have a 90% kill. But I said, that would probably solve the Social Security funding problem. So,
right.
You know, if we're all gone, they don't have to pay us. We have to get
money. There's homes available for illegal aliens. We can provide more homes for illegal aliens soon.
Well, Obama even said we've got a lot of empty homes. We could fill them with people from the Middle East. That's the quota his. But, you know, we can build roads and bridges for people and then build an embassy in Iraq that looks like the Vatican. And in Michigan now they want to raise our taxes. What most people don't know is Debbie Stabenow and Carl Levin has got this Fairness Act. To be fair with the brick-and-mortar people, we're going to put, as of August 1st, tax on the Internet purchases. So with this extra money even coming into the coffers in Michigan, they can't fix these roads. And they're intentionally laying back on the roads because they want to force the money issue. I've got a doctor now that had to declare bankruptcy. The poor guy sent all the money he had over to Europe to Uncle Joe for an investment. Uncle Joe died. Nobody knows where the money is. And, you know, he's got two kids in college, and doctors aren't making that much. It's the administrators that are making the money. So anyway, I gave him a silver dollar before I left, the old handshake with the silver dollar, and I says, I give one to my mail lady, and she'll bend over backwards, knocking on the door to give me special packages, and UPS guy, and I says, I don't know why I don't give one to my doctor. And you should have seen this guy's eyes lit up with a silver dollar, you know, brand new silver eagle. And it's just a good thing to do, maybe. But anyway, oh, yeah, they also talked about the feds, that if you delete your files, you could get 20 years. Well, that's not on the books. It doesn't say that. But if you're going to get 20 years, I guess Hillary would be the first one for deleting files.
Yeah, I guess that's a good idea. That's a fact.
Yeah.
If you know you're under investigation. If you know you're under investigation. I thought it was 10 years, but it doesn't matter. I don't care if it's
20.
1 year. If you know you're under investigation. Is it 20?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's if you know you're under investigation. It doesn't mean you can't delete your files, you know, as it is right now, as long as you don't know you're being investigated. But once you know you're investigated, then you've got to protect all the information so you can confess against yourself. You can be forced to effectively provide, you know, evidence against yourself.
Yeah,
anything else?
This become a country of minority rule. The gays, they're 7%, but they're making laws for them. In the African-American community, 13%, but they do, and I've got the federal statistics that I can send to Melody, that they do 85% of the gun crimes. So don't take my gun away because somebody else can't control themselves. Then, you know, one day you could do it. This is financial survival. I see Fred Thompson, and I almost want to throw up. He's got this reverse mortgage for all you seniors out there. And maybe people that have done reverse mortgage could email Melody on the good or bad experience they've had with this. And then maybe you could even do a show on reverse mortgages, because this is something the seniors might be saying, oh, boy, free money, you know. But they mandate how your house is going to be maintained and everything else, and they're going to get their share.
Well, that's another one of these things where the people don't want to be responsible for their own lives. It's not, you know, we can complain, and I do, about government trying to install a police state to create more control over the people, but we have a bunch of people that are so bewildered, threatened by the world the way it is today, so confused, and frequently so lazy. They don't want responsibility for their own lives. Somebody tell me what to do. I don't want to be free. And that's how a lot of people really are, or at least how they impress me. I'm not saying that everybody's like that. I'm not saying a majority is like that, but I am saying a significant percentage are quite content. They prefer living as slaves.
Just like anything else, Dave, those reverse mortgages, they might be good for someone, but I would think that the majority that they're not good. If you have children and things like that, so it's just like anything else, is it suitable for people? But they do tout it as the and Thompson's not the only person around there pushing those reverse mortgages, but
no, they'll sell because people.
Hey.
You know, I don't know what it is, but something's just being lost, and you can see it and you can sense it, and trying to put your finger on it is not easily done. And it's not being lost simply because Obama comes out and he mandates something like Obamacare or elements of Obamacare. There's something lost in the fiber of America where we are not exactly the same people that we were 30, 40, 50 years ago. And if we continue along those lines, we're going to wind up in places none of us really want to go. All right? You
want to
live
like
the former Soviet Union?
Anymore.
Keep on going.
Yep. Hey, one last thing real quick. You know, I always used to say, read my lips, no new taxes, George Bush?
Yep.
Okay, well, I heard 15 years ago a guy retired from the Mossad that said that it wasn't that. It was that in the Camp David peace accord, he told Israel, if you don't get along, we're going to cut your funding. And this fellow said, no one threatens Israel. And they told him that if he ran again, he wouldn't be in office long. Now, this is what this fellow said. I heard this from 15 years ago.
That's an interesting story. It might be true, and it might also be something like the real reason he didn't win election is because I, Alfred Addis, pulled a secret lever, and I know where the lever was, and therefore G.W. Bush or George Bush Sr. was not elected. There'll be a lot of people try to claim credit for him losing that second election. And it's pretty hard in retrospect to say, you know, I mean, who was more responsible than Ross Perot? It's hard to imagine that Israel caused Ross Perot to run for election. And yet, from my perspective, Perot is the one that changed that. He didn't win himself, but he opened the door for Bill Clinton to come in. Wasn't his intent.
Sure, because he got in and he got out, and he got back in again, so.
Yeah.
Well,
trying to understand what's really going on, who's responsible, who claims credit, who's really responsible, I don't know. Pretty tough. Anything else, Dave?
Okay. Well, you have a good 4th. That's coming up. We're going to have, I may not get all of you before that time, but, I had to mention, though, that, by the way, George H. Bush was the guy that took all the water and food out of the fallout shelters, so we're kind of defenseless. And in Russia, they're building fallout shelters and packing away food, and here we have nothing. So if you don't look out for yourself, this is one time you got to stand on your own feet.
Well, I understand. You're going to have to become more responsible for your own lives, more independent, more self-reliant, and you're going to have to build up your relationship with the good Lord, because we're coming into times, you look at them, and in the final analysis, I don't think anything's going to protect you, me, Melody, anybody else other than the good Lord. I mean, if he wants you protected, you're protected, and if he doesn't, it is, you know, whatever else you're doing, you're going to be vulnerable, and you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Well, you know, you can just kind of feel it coming, though. And it seems
they're turning up the heat on the frog, and we're the frog, so.
Yeah, I get you.
Yep.
So,
okay.
Learn to swim, learn to hop, whatever you got to do. All right, Dave, thanks for your call. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will take a break for some more commercials and be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. Alfred Addis, Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
We're just going to move right along. There's so much to talk about and so little time.
It's been a big news day. It really
week.
Has a bunch of things.
It's been a week, big news week.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Days. It was, you know, Wednesday was slow to my mind. I don't remember anything particularly happened on Wednesday. Thursday, things started to jump with Obamacare. Greece, of course, is still lingering on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Not quite dying. You know, I think Greece is just playing the whole world.
Well, I'm worn out with
I think they get a laugh out of the whole thing. Look at Merkel. We got Angela Merkel jumping. I think they're just laughing about the whole situation. We'll watch and see. But that's coming down to the wire in theory. The third is the 30th of the month is Tuesday, I believe, and that's the end of the line. If they don't have the money by then, they have to default. But see, they default anyway. They don't have the money. They are defaulting.
Will we know
anybody
that.
Maintain the illusion that they didn't default? That's all that's about. Mm. And, you know, my God, it's perils of Pauline. You know, one cliffhanger after another, one deadline after another. It's just silly.
Well, the other big deal by the Supreme, I mean, they're just out with all kinds of rulings. There's some other ones they did, but the big one was, of course, the 5x4 ruling. That struck down four state marriage laws, paving the way for gay marriage to be legal in all 50 states.
Yep.
They're making laws.
I understand that. Well, but again, this is and what they describe. This is the New Washington Times. The headline is Supreme Court legalizes gay marriage in all 50 states in stunning 5-4 decision. I've been telling people for at least 5 years that this is the way it was going to work out. Because very few people understand, and I may have been, I can't recall if we were talking about this in the 1990s, but some people, one guy in particular, I'd gone through a divorce that put me on the path of political activism and ultimately caused me to do publish a magazine for 12 years and radio and one thing and another like that. I don't have much of an interest in marriage laws right now. It's not a critical thing, but I had a big interest back in the 1990s, right? Early 1990s. It was obsessive. what we learned is that the government doesn't license marriages in the biblical sense. The Bible says two shall be joined and become one flesh. That's only a two-party marriage under God. When you have a modern marriage, you take a marriage license, you get a three-party marriage relationship. You become you're one of the parties. Your spouse is the second party, and who's the third party? The state, the government. That's why they can meddle in your divorce. That's why they can meddle in the child custody and the rest of these determinations. Very few people appreciate that what the government is licensing is not a marriage. They are licensing a marriage relationship. And while it's absolutely true that the gays will never, never be married in the eyes of God, they will never get a Christian marriage. They may find some corporation that masquerades as a church that's willing to hand these things out with maybe a neon, a flashing neon cross outside the church or something. They may find that, but they are not going to ever have a legitimate marriage. But what they do have are marriage relationships. And the reason they have it is because we the people agreed to let the government license our marriages. And when you did, you let them get their snoot, the camel's nose, up under your tent. And now we have, this is another illustration of what I talked about earlier in the program. You let government in, it's, oh, we're going to regulate, we're going to protect you, we're going to take care of you, the rest of this sort of thing. Yeah, watch what happens. The inevitable consequence is that they will go from the stupidity of government taking care of us to the stupidity and the abomination of government controlling us. They want to control your marriage. They want to control whether you're divorced, whether you're, you know, there was a time, and not all that long ago, you couldn't get a marriage unless you couldn't get a no-fault marriage. Or, excuse me, you couldn't get a divorce that was no-fault. 40 years ago, maybe, 50 for sure. You had to have fault. You wanted a divorce, you had to have reason for it. Now all you have to do with a marriage relationship, that was a divorce for a real marriage. When you get a marriage relationship, it's a fiction. A three-party marriage is a fiction. It's not. It's a legal fiction. And one of the maxims of law is that a fiction can do no harm. Anytime one of the parties to a legal fiction says, oh, this isn't fun anymore, I have irreconcilable differences, the court says, that's it, you're out of here. We are breaking up this marriage relationship between the two spouses. The government apparently still stays married, figuratively speaking, to each of the spouses, but the spouses are like two points on a triangle. There's, when the marriage is there, the marriage relationship, you got a line going, you got the government at the other point on the triangle. You've got three relationships. The divorce just severs the relationship between the two spouses, but the government stays involved, and they continue to supervise over the years after, or they can at least. Well, my point in all of this is that what the government is licensing is not a biblical marriage. They never had the authority to do it. Mary and Joseph did not have a marriage license. Nobody needed them. The government has intruded on marriages. Well, we will decide who can and can't. We will license whether you can and can't be married. And the result of we the people being dumb enough to allow government to make that decision and control our marriages, well, here we are. Our marriage relationships. The gays have the same right to the same phony baloney marriage relationship as you and I do. They will never get to a marriage, but they do have the same right to achieve a marriage relationship, which is all you get when you get a licensed marriage from the government. It may be, I'm not saying that you don't have a biblical marriage as well. I don't know what God thinks about it. You know, he doesn't tell me, so I don't know and I don't say. But if you're relying on your marriage license to prove that you're married, marriage license just gives you a marriage relationship. All relationships are fictions. Right? And they can be ended at a moment's notice. There's no reason why the gays shouldn't have the same phony baloney marriage relationship as the government provides to straight people. They'll never get a biblical marriage, but they can get a government. I've been telling people this for at least 5 years. It might be 10. I don't know. Knew a guy out on the East Coast. He got divorced. He actually filed. He sued not only for after the divorce. He did most of the research on this. And he went to court, and he attempted to sue to be divorced from the state. And I never heard, you know, I lost contact with him before I ever heard what happened there. And he just sort of disappeared, didn't hear any more. But My only point is we're going to see, before this is done, people will be marrying their dogs and cats. All right? I want the right because I love my little dog. I love my little cat. It's the only one who really understands me. So I want to be married to the dog and the cat, or the cat. Yeah. They're going to do that. And right now people say, oh, Al's lost it. And Marissa sort of, well, maybe. But you wait and see. There will be people marrying animals before this is over. And the reason they'll be able to do it is because, and these, a lot of people sit back and say, oh, that's crazy talk. No, it's not. If you shoot a police dog, you understand? You can be charged with killing a police officer. They've already elevated police dogs to the status of where they are virtually, where they are human-like at least. You watch, they're going to be marrying animals in this country, but it will be a marriage relationship. It will not be a biblical marriage. And we have this problem with the gays. I think the Supreme Court understands this. And the gays, they just said, no, we've got to give them the same nonsense we give the rest of the dummies. And this happens because we don't pay attention.
But Al,
we don't educate ourselves. When do we trust the government to do what is right when it's just wrong, wrong, wrong? Again, government got in. They shouldn't be licensing marriages, ever. Should never have been required that you get a license from the state. And once they got into that, guess what? Next thing you know, you have gay marriages, and then you'll have animal and people marriages.
But isn't the problem here that the Supremes didn't have the authority to write the law insisting that states accept this? Isn't this truly a state issue if the states are issuing the licenses so the court justices can force the states? It's not about a matter of interpreting law. They're creating
law.
No,
I know. I know.
So that's the problem. I could care less. I mean, people want to go in there. But isn't the problem that they're creating law, they're initiating law. That's the whole problem of this.
It's much the problem, and I talked about it with I think Frank back on Tuesday night program, and we talked I read Supreme Court decisions from time to time. I don't read them as often as I should, but I do. You routinely see Supreme Court decisions that come down that are 50,000 words long. That's like a novel. If people, one of the things you can tell simply from the size of the decision, the number of words, does that mean the Supreme Court has ruled according to existing law? You know, it's like driving down the street, and if there's a speed limit of 60 miles an hour, then, and we have evidence that Mr. Jones was driving 70 miles an hour, then we have evidence he broke the law. It's obvious. It's not. It doesn't take 50,000 words to explain it. When they use a 50,000-word decision, and it happens on a routine basis, they're not explaining how they reached a decision based on existing law. They're explaining how they've reached a decision that is not based on existing law, how they are creating a new interpretation of the law. This should, you know, if they were just ruling, this is what the Constitution says, this is what this says, blah, 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 there ought to be a 5,000-word limit on the size of these decisions, and people could understand them. 50,000 words? I mean, they write these cases, and sometimes you'll see sentences that'll run to 200 words in a single sentence. Nobody can understand that. Virtually no one can understand it. I won't say it's completely incomprehensible, but you need to be one extraordinary reader to follow, make sense of a sentence that's 150, 200 words long. They are making law. And it's just the size of the decisions all by itself gives us a clue. They're not ruling according to law. They're saying, here's the new law.
Okay, my question is, how can they create these liberties? I mean, they just create them.
They don't create them. It happens in part, from my perspective, if you didn't want gay marriage, no one should have ever licensed marriages.
Well, Scalia wrote, the courts claim power to create liberties that the Constitution and its amendments neglect to mention.
Yep.
So he's saying they have created these liberties.
Well, I agree they have, but I'm saying they created, they didn't do the I am arguing that they didn't, the act of creation didn't take place in the decision that was released today. The act, or tomorrow, or yesterday, excuse me, today, I don't know if it came out which day, but this week. The creation, the implication of today's ruling was implied when they started licensing marriages 100 years ago. You should have just let the church handle the marriages. All right? Get yourself a family Bible. Bob married Sally. All right? Got some witnesses. Good enough. But they go, oh, no, no, no. We have to regulate. Once they got into the marriage regulation business, inevitably they have to let every... It's just... The foundation was laid decades ago. And it's part of the reason why people have to regain a sense of values and understand how important your fundamental values are, because they have impact. What you believe in today doesn't just affect what happens today. It affects what's going to happen to your children and to your grandchildren. We lay that foundation by just say, hey, where's my free lunch? You're putting your children into a concentration camp. Your appetite for free lunches today, ladies and gentlemen, will put your children into bondage and slavery. Who's going to pay for that free lunch? When the government comes around and says, we're going to subsidize the poor. Great. Sounds like a wonderful idea. But who's going to pay that subsidy? And it's going to be ultimately the children of the poor and the grandchildren. And of the middle class and the wealthy and the rest, that sort of thing. But what government does, they give us a great plan today, but they don't pay for it today. We'll leave that for the kids. How are the kids going to be forced to pay for these plans? Every time we consume a free lunch, we are pushing our children into bondage, because they're the ones who will actually be required to pay for our free lunch. And they aren't going to want to do it. And the government will say, you have to pay. And if we have to shackle and chain you and throw you in prison or shoot you, you have to pay. Because we made promises years ago to people, American people, who were foolish enough to think a free lunch was a good thing. Worst thing you can eat. You want something you shouldn't be eating, folks? Don't worry about cholesterol. Stay away from free lunches. They'll kill you, and they'll kill your nation before this is done. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too fast. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy